and welcome to this week's message from Ed Carter, Senior Pastor of Valley Church. Catch up on more messages and hear the latest from Valley Church online at valleychurch.eu/messages or download from iTunes. For more information about what's going on in the life of church, visit valleychurch.eu. Enjoy the message.
This Easter, where our series title is You Were Chosen to Be Free. You were chosen to be free. You see, God sent Jesus onto planet Earth, which obviously we celebrate at Christmas, but all the way through to Easter, because he wanted to set us free. You see, mankind had got itself tied up in knots. We have got ourselves tied up in knots. Our planet, our world doesn't work properly. There's hurt and pain, there's illness, and none of us kind of, when we talk to our friends and neighbors, they might not go to church, they might not have much faith at all. But if you say, do you think this world is the way it should be? Honestly, it takes them like 3 seconds to go, well, I don't think so. I'm sure it should be better. There's seen so much hate and war and disease. Surely it wasn't supposed to be like that. There's something in the soul of every single person on this planet that knows something. It's not the way it should be. And part of that is that we're kind of trapped in doing wrong stuff. We damage others, we damage ourselves, we damage our planet, this wonderful world that God has made us. And God sent Jesus to set us free, that we may break the chains of that sin, that thing that causes to hurt ourselves and other people. And the Bible says in Ephesians 1 verse 4 that God chose us. He planned this even before he created the world. It says, even before creation, he chose us to set us free. And he sets us free to be the real me, the best me, for me and for you. He chose us because to send Jesus so that we could be healed from the hurt and pain that each one of us feeling. If you're in hurt and pain tonight, I just want to tell you from the start, you need Jesus. You might need some doctors, you might need some friends, but you absolutely definitely need Jesus. You just need, Jesus is the one who'll heal you from the inside out, not the outside. Others can heal from the outside in, or can help, but only Jesus can heal you from the inside out. He's the only one. And then he wants to set us free to empower us to become all that he created us to be, which I love. It's one of the reasons I love being a Christian. I love following God because I know God wants to set me free to be the person that he always knew I was, that I never knew I wasn't. I haven't got time to tell my story, but you know, God has so changed my life from when I was a teenager all the way through to now. It's kind of almost an unbelievable story of what God has done, but God has empowered me to be the person that I never realized I was when I was a teenager, but I now realize that God had always intended for me to be. And it's wonderful that he wants to do that for every single person here in this room, not just in this room, every single person in our country and in the world. God longs that all mankind be free, and he longs that you would be free. And that's what our series is about. And we talk about all different aspects of freedom. And tonight, what I want to talk about, and if you're watching online, this is what I want to talk about. If you're listening on the podcast, this is what I want to talk about. I want to talk about forgiveness tonight. In the next 20 minutes or so, I want to talk about forgiveness. Now, for some of you sat here, this service is like, oh, cool, forgiveness. This will be a handy talk because I know I need to forgive people from time to time. But that's it. But for others of you sat here, this is a really difficult subject. This almost might cut you to the very core of your being, because there's things happened in your life that have caused you so much hurt and so much pain for you to even consider forgiveness of the person or the situation. That's a huge deal for you. And I can never understand what that feels for you. I can't. I don't want to claim to. I don't think preachers should. I don't know what that feels like for you, but this might be a difficult subject. All I can tell you is this. If you were to open up your heart, if you were to open up your life and let Jesus begin to work from the inside out, he can heal you. He can change you so that one day somebody like me will stand up and say, I want to talk about forgiveness. And rather than you go, this is a difficult subject, go, this was difficult for me. But now I have peace. I have healing. I have joy in the center of my being. And I have forgiven whatever the situation was, whatever the person has done to you. But, and so whether it's like this is going to be more of interest to you, but handy interest, or whether for you this is a huge deal, either way, this will be useful for each one of us in every day of our lives as we meet broken people. You know, there's broken people in your world who need to understand about forgiveness and what that means and how the Bible talks about it. I have a little graph thing for you. Oh, I know, I've got three diagrams for you tonight. Three. So this is my first one. So that's better. So hurt, pain, it's caused by others, by life, and by ourselves. Right, we know that? Yep. And if unforgiveness is allowed to rule in our life, I can guarantee some of these things will happen. Bitterness. That's not nice. Envy. Stress. Striving. War. That's what happens. If you're struggling with unforgiveness, these kind of things are happening. You know, there's probably a whole stack more if you're a counselor or whatever you, some of you guys out there, you're probably going, oh yes, Ed, but there's all these as well. I accept that, okay? But these are kind of things that will begin to happen in your heart. So they hurt you, basically. They hurt you. But if you would let forgiveness rule, things like healing, blessing, restoration, peace will begin to reign. Not to say begin, because it always takes time. God does sometimes kind of, as it were, do a miracle and snap his fingers and it's all done. But normally for most of us, it's a process. This lot leads to death. This lot leads to life. This is a massive, important subject for us as human beings. I know I said some of you, if this might be more of interest, most of us in the end have to figure out whether we're going to live a life of forgiveness or live a life of unforgiveness. Are we going to forgive everybody, or are we going to hold some of those things and harbor unforgiveness in our heart and our soul? And this is what will happen one way or another. And I want to speak in to this. And before I begin, what I want to do is just kind of take you through the process that the Bible teaches us, is really how to go down this side, not go down that side. Does that make sense? So that's what I want to try and do in a few minutes I have. But I just want to pray, because this is a spiritual thing, because I want your hearts and minds to be open to this. And so, Father, we ask, as we just look at this subject of forgiveness, that you'd help us to really open our hearts and our minds to understand what your word says about this. Father, because I don't think there's a person in this room that does not want to live in a place of healing, blessing, restoration, or peace. All of us want to live in that place, a place where life exists, where there's hope in this future. But Father, some of us, we find it so hard to let go. And Father, some of us have good reasons why it's hard to let go. And Father, I know you understand that. But God, I pray this evening that all of us may hear your small, still voice of love, of peace, of persuasion, of gentleness, of command. My child, allow me to take hold of this which is hurting you and causing you pain. Allow me to take it, that I may heal you and restore you and bless you and give you peace and a hope and a future. And Father, I pray you'd open hearts and lives and minds to hear this. And Father, for all of us, I pray that you may help us to remember the gist of what I'm saying. Father, because it's going to be true for each one of us that we're going to bump into people who need to know about forgiveness. And Father, help us to understand what your word teaches. And Father, I pray as you said, Jesus, as you said before, that you would remind us in those moments of that which we have learned so that we can pass it on to other people, that they can live the life they were called to live and not a life that they might live. And Father, I pray for any here who don't know you. Father, I pray that they may hear your voice and know that they can receive forgiveness from you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So don't get too distracted. That's our goal. Right, so I think this process of forgiveness is a process. And it begins with this. So number one, it begins with the fact that God is offering a perfect forgiveness to us. So God is offering a perfect forgiveness for you and me. When he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross, he offers us a perfect forgiveness. And I just want to read a little bit from Ephesians chapter 1. Paul writes this to the church of Ephesus, but understanding that we'd still be reading it now, I think. So he says this, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heaven realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption. We've been redeemed from sin and everything else through his blood. The forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. What's grace? God's unmerited favor in our lives. As the riches of God's unmerited favor that he has lavished on us with all his wisdom and understanding. God has offered us perfect forgiveness through what Jesus did on the cross, because Jesus took away on our behalf, or took on himself on our behalf, all your sin, all your wrongdoing, all the hurt that you've ever caused other people. That's why he had to die. Such is the cost that we caused because of our sin. But it's a gift of grace. It's just a gift that we have to accept. Psalm 103, verse 12 says that when God does it, it's like he takes our sin, our wrongness, and he places it as far as the east is from the west. I was just thinking, which is east and which is west? Any ideas? Is that east and that west? Well, that's not helpful, is it really? That's east and that west. Okay, so as far as the east is from the west, we're better going east and west across the stage. But you know what I mean? I mean, how far is east from the west? What's the psalmist trying to say? How do you define the farthest east from the farthest west? Remember, they thought about flat earth. They didn't think about round earth, right? Because we think, yeah, but in the end, they meet on the other side, right? I know some of you are thinking that, right? But they were thinking flat earth. There were still flat earth people in those days. And so the psalmist was thinking that the east was forever that way. And the west was forever that way. And that's how far God separates our wrongdoing from his presence and from our lives. Isn't that? It's perfect. Hebrews 10, verse 19 to 22, and I don't have time to read them, says that this perfect forgiveness so cleans us up, so makes us holy. Hebrews 10, 19 to 22. Makes us so perfect that we can enter the very presence of the holy God. And he will accept us into his presence. So holy are we. So perfect are we. That's the measure of his forgiveness. And that's how much he's forgiven. It's all gone. It's all gone. You could describe it like this. It's total. It covers everything. It's complete. Nothing else needs to be done. It's completed. You don't need to do anything. God doesn't need to do anything. It's all done. Jesus, he did it. It's completed. And it's finished. You don't need to go back to it. And being finished is really important. It took me a while as a Christian to get this. When I got saved, when I said yes to following Jesus, my past sins were forgiven. My present sins were forgiven. But my future sins were also forgiven because it was finished. It was done. It was completed. In fact, you could say God's forgiveness means that it's done. It's done. It's just done. The thing's finished. It's perfectly done. And that's super important for the process that I want to take you on. See, the second thing is this. This forgiveness is offered, this gift, this grace gift, it's offered. It's offered to every single human being that's ever walked or ever will walk on this planet. God offers it to everybody. There's no exceptions. But you have to receive it or accept it. You personally have to receive the gift of forgiveness. It's not, God doesn't force it on you. He doesn't say, oi, you, Katie, have this gift. You've got to have it and kind of shove it in. Now unwrap it. God doesn't do that. Have you ever done that to a friend at a birthday party? I've got this great gift. There, open it now. Because you want to see their face, right? God doesn't do that. It's offered. It's near. It's close. It's easy to receive. But it's never forced. It's never shoved upon or thrust upon. We have to accept it. We have to realize this. As we do that, I am forgiven. I am forgiven. I am forgiven. Jesus explains his trust, his faith in Mark chapter 10. And he says this, Mark chapter 10, verse 13. He says, people were bringing little children, little ones, 3-4-year-olds, innocents. That's important, innocents, little children. To have Jesus touch them. But the disciples were rebuking them. Go away then. The master's too busy for little ones. Send them away. He does adult stuff. Yes. But Jesus doesn't. He does children's work. Well done, kids team. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And that's wonderful. It means our children can meet Jesus just where they are. It won't be the same understanding as an adult understanding. It'd be a childlike understanding, but it's just as valid. They can understand, right? Then he says this. I tell you the truth. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never inherit it. He'll never enter it. He'll never receive it. Why is that? See, a little child, and you know, right? The parents, or if you're not a parent yet, they're so trusting, aren't they? They're just so believing. They don't seem to worry, do they? If you say it's going to be okay, they go, okay, mommy, okay, daddy. And it's good. Why? Because they utterly trust that if mommy and daddy says it's going to be okay, it's going to be okay. It's going to be, and there's this kind of innocent trust, a lack of worry. I've never known a 3-year-old say, but what if? Have you ever known this? Yeah, but what if? What if the wheels fall off the car, daddy? Will we crash? Actually, some do get around to that quite early, like my son. But anyway, apart from that, but there's this kind of innocent trust. And you see, we need to come and accept this offer that God has given us with an innocent trust, in a belief that what God says is actually true. You need to. I need to. In the complications of our adult life, with all the what ifs and busts and wherefores and therefores and whatever other falls we want to think about, we need to accept when God says, I have forgiven you, he has perfectly forgive me, what did I say? Totally, completely, and it's finished. I need to just leave it. You see, God is no longer angry at you. You're forgiven. He does not look down and go, I can't believe. He doesn't even say, I can't believe they're doing that. Because he knew that when he forgave you. Your future was never a mystery to him when he said, you're forgiven. He already knew it. Oh, we need to accept it. I've met Christians that struggle with this concept, that they are, that the forgiveness is utter and finished, that it was done. They give the impression, I don't think they ever dare say it to me because because it's me, but like they still need to somehow earn it. They still need to do something. There's still something missing that if they will just do, then God will love them more than what he does. He can't, he will not. He loves you as much as he ever will. He loves you in a perfect way. I am completely loved by God. I am forgiven. He's not angry at me. He's not irritated at me. He longs to help me and bless me because I am utterly and completely forgiven because of what Jesus did. And that's the offer for every one of us, which means I love him. I love God's presence. I love worshiping him. I hope you do. I long to serve him, to build his kingdom, serve his world. Actually, that might put me in harm's way, by the way, as I serve him, but that's fine because I know I'm forgiven and he loves me and he wants the best for me. And I'm willing to lay down my life like he laid down his life for me that other people may know about Jesus. And I like that purpose. I'd rather live for a cause than die a boring old man with no hair. Actually, the no hair bit's not an option, probably in my case. We need to accept that we're... The third thing is this. We need to learn to personally walk in that forgiveness every day of our lives. I am forgiven, therefore, my guilt is gone today. My shame is gone today. I have no need to loathe myself today because I'm perfect and holy in God's sight. And even though my actions aren't perfect, I know that God has forgiven each and every one of the imperfections even before I begin my day. I love that. I don't know about you. Every day I know I'm going to make some mistakes. I know if I'm a bit tired, I'll probably shout at somebody I shouldn't. I'll get irritated in my heart at somebody that I shouldn't. But I know at the beginning of the day, despite that, I'm utterly loved. I'm utterly forgiven. I will always be welcome in God's presence because I don't need to earn it. It's already finished. It's done. I love that. That's why I wrote done on this board. I want you to get the idea. It's done. Too many Christians live. Even though Jesus has forgiven them, they live with guilt or they live with I'm not worthy or they live almost loathing or in shame. And you don't need to. You don't need to because God has done it. It's finished. It's already finished. I no longer need to beat myself up. Sure, I might need to fix sins. I'm not saying we shouldn't fix sins, that we say sorry and that kind of stuff. But I am perfect. You know, I can stand up before you and say, I am the perfect man. Because I am. And so are you. If you love Jesus, if you're following, you're the perfect man, you're the perfect woman. Not because of you, but because of what Jesus has done in your life. And Christians need to live in that knowledge every day of their life. I'm tired of Christians going, yeah, but you know, I'm not that good. No, you're perfect. It's not that you're not good and you're worse. You're right, you're not good, but that's because you're perfect. And if we're going to live in freedom, if we're going to live in everything that God wants to give us, and we need to live in forgiveness every single day of our lives. That's what Jesus did for us on the cross. We need to live in the gift of forgiveness as a believer every day because that's why Jesus died. The fourth thing is this. We need to accept and freely forgive all who hurt us or offend us or do one over on us. We need to, the forgiveness that we've found, we need to forgive other people. Matthew 18, verse 21 to 22, which I'm going to read for you. The disciples come to him and say this, Matthew 18, verse 21. Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Reasonable number, isn't it? Seven. It's a good number, seven. Righteous. Jesus says, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. And all the commentators agree what Jesus is saying. Times without number. You never don't forgive. You always forgive. And then he tells them a story. The story of the unmerciful servant. Some of you know it, some of you don't. What happened was, a king wanted to settle some accounts with his servants. And so he began the settlement with a man who owed him 10,000 talents. A talent is a year's wage, so he owed 10,000 years' wages. Basically, he was snookered. He was never going to pay this off. This was beyond his ability. And it was a huge debt, like massive. It was just a huge debt. And the man was not able to pay. So the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all they had be sold to repay this debt. I was going to be sold into slavery. So the servant, Jesus says, fell on his knees before this Lord and said, be patient with me and I will pay you back everything. Now, at which point the Lord could have said, but there's no chance you'll ever pay it back. You can't pay it back. Even if you work hard for your entire life, you'll never ever pay me back this 10,000 years wages that you owe me. You're doomed to failure. It's not going to happen. Therefore, I'm going to sell you because I want my money back, or as much money back as I can get, because I'm going to have to write some off. But the master didn't do that. The master said he took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. So he had no debt. It's all gone. And then it says, that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 denarii. A denarii was about one day's wages, so he owed him 100 days' wages. Highly possible he would pay him off. Just 100 days' wages. This was, in human terms, doable. The first debt was impossible. This one was possible. And this servant went to his subservant and said, I want it now. And the guy said, well, just give me patience. I will pay it off. But the man was so cross, he threw him in jail and sold into prison until he could pay on the debt. And what was Jesus trying to say is this, is what you have been forgiven, disciples, or what we have been forgiven by God, was such a massive debt that we could never, ever, ever pay it off. 10,000 years' wages. You'll never pay it off. It was huge. What Jesus did on the cross for us, guys, is huge. That's what Jesus was saying. The disciples didn't know that yet, but that's what he was saying, and that's why it's recorded. But our debts that people owe us are pitiful in comparison. 100 days' wages. And Jesus is saying, forgive them. I forgave you this huge debt, 10,000 years' wages that you could never pay off. I forgave you that. And Jesus is saying, didn't put please on, but kind of implies it, doesn't he? Please forgive those who owe you such a small debt. And the thing is this, you might be sat there going, Pastor Ed, you have no idea the pain somebody has caused you. You're right, I don't. I don't know the pain somebody's caused you. And I don't want to say that your pain is insignificant. But you do need to hear this. Please hear it. Hear it with love and care, because if you can grasp hold of it, it will change your life. The debt, the pain that you've caused God, the debt that you owe God, that he forgave you, makes the debt, the pain that you feel to somebody else, insignificant. It's not big. It's small. It's a little one compared to the big debt that God has paid you. And you might go, yep, it doesn't feel like that. No, it probably doesn't. But that's the truth of it. And if you can begin to understand that, if you can allow God to help you understand that, and you begin to put it back in the right perspective, you'll suddenly start going, man, God's awesome, and I can let that go. Because God is awesome, and I can let that go. And that's why we need to forgive other people. In fact, Matthew 6, verse 14 to 15, right after Jesus says the Lord's Prayer, this is what he says about how we need to forgive. So just give them the Lord's Prayer, and he says this, So Matthew 6, verse 14. If you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Are you ready? I'm going to give you another diagram. And it goes like this. So this is the forgiveness process. So if you're taking notes, forgiveness process, in case you can't read my writing. It begins with God's offer of forgiveness. Then we need to accept this offer. And then we need to, my writing's getting worse, to live and walk in this forgiven state. Got that? And then finally, God's offer of forgiveness. We need to accept this offer. We need to live and walk in this forgiven state. My mind is terrible. And then we need to offer and give forgiveness to others. This is the process. And as we do this, we'll go from... Actually, I've got two colored pens. We'll go from unforgiveness to... Can you see the bottom already? All right, forgiveness fully received. Received. It's probably spelled wrong. Anyway. Now, this is super important. We're unforgiven. So God offers us forgiveness, perfect forgiveness. We then need to accept this offer. We then need to live and walk in this offer every day of our lives. We then need to then, this forgiveness that God has given us, we need to offer it to others. And then, when that happens, the Bible teaches us that our forgiveness can be fully received. You see, for some of you out there, I don't know how many, I pray not many, but some of you, you read through that and you go, I don't live in this. And I'm going to humbly say that one of these stages needs some work out. Now, it's also true that all of us need to keep working on all the stages, right? I don't think any of us walk in total forgiveness every hour, every minute of every day, right? So we all have some work to do. But for some, there's some serious bits missing. And as you sit there and as you think and you pray, I pray that God will open your eyes and would speak to you and say, it's that, my child. If you would just receive it, maybe. Or if you just walk in it every day and allow my spirit to heal you from the inside out. Or perhaps it is that you need to begin to offer forgiveness for those people that have hurt you, genuinely hurt you. But you need to let them, so that God's forgiveness can fully flow through your life. I want to finish with three markers. I'm just going to list them for you. So 1, 2, 3, 6. Three markers that you'll have when this process is working well. Okay? So if you're a serious Christian in here, these three things should be marks of your life. Okay? You ready? First one should be this. You don't ever want to get revenge on anybody. Romans 12, 19 to 20 say that revenge is God's. Hebrews 13 talks about that the authorities of this world can deal with people. We don't take revenge as Christians. The second marker should be this. This one's a bit more tricky. Most of you probably don't want to have revenge on people, right? The second marker is this. You should have no ill will to anybody. No ill will to anybody. That's a bit tougher, right? Those of you gone through painful situations, if you harbor ill will, you still need to work on this process. Either God's offer, whatever it is. If you've got ill will towards people. And finally, Luke 6, verse 27 says this. But I tell you, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who ill-treat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn him to the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Final mark is you want to bless those who have hurt you. Right, that's tough. But it's why this process is important. And as I was praying, I was thinking, I've heard a lot of teaching about blessing enemies, right? And it's true, we should as Christians. But if you don't understand this, man, it's so tough to do. Because it's in a vacuum. It's what I wanted to teach you the whole lot. I know it's been a bit rushed, but I wanted to teach you the whole lot that you may understand that we can bless our enemies from a genuine heart point. If we genuinely receive this, if we genuinely accept it, if we genuinely live it, we will then genuinely be able to offer it to other people with a freedom from our heart. Because God will have changed something from the inside out, not the other way around. It's why it's so important. And this is one of the reasons why Jesus died on the cross. This Easter, Jesus died to set you free from unforgiveness. Both from a God point of view, but from a one another point of view. That you may live in complete freedom and blessing and abundance.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. Why not follow us on Twitter at @Valley_Church or come visit us at one of our locations on a Sunday. To find out more, visit valleychurch.eu. Have a great week.